Thank you for stopping in for another episode of EC Convos, the place to have cool conversations with cool people. Of course, I am your host, Eric, your resident cool cat, and I truly appreciate you checking us out. Don't forget, y'all, to comment and subscribe wherever you're listening to this, whether it be on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, YouTube, or any of the other major platforms that you can tune into. That one little gesture, y'all, helps out so much with this podcast. Also, if you can, don't forget to leave us a tip by clicking the link in the bottom of the show notes, as it does help keep the lights on and the conversations coming. So I was perusing through social media the other day because I was looking for something in particular about kettlebells. I wanted to find a short but effective workout that I can do pretty quickly. I really didn't have a lot of time to do a full workout or actually any workout because there are so many other things going on in my life that I needed to get done. And not to mention, there's a lot of craziness happening in my personal life. But I was committed to working out every other day, and that day was kettlebell day. Now, as we all know, once you get started on social media, you can get easily distracted and start doom scrolling. And before you know it, my workout time had already passed and I was pissed. So what did I do? Start scrolling some more. Shameful, I know, but I'm glad I did because I found a post from someone that said, "Is it just me or does your life seem off a little bit?" I began listening more to what the person had to say, and it started to hit home even more because it's true. Something does feel off with me. I mean, I have a good job. My life is pretty normal. I'm smart. I keep myself up. I work out consistently. Well, except for that day, but whatever. So yeah, on paper, I am what some people would consider the model citizen. But inside, at that moment, when everything was going on in my life, there was a feeling of more. It was like I needed to do more, to be more. I'm sure I'm not the only one that felt that way. Now, coincidentally, 30 minutes later, I had the conversation with my next guest, Helen Llewellyn, the founder of Elemental Tribe, a company that focuses on helping people who feel disconnected from themselves seek a more peaceful and meaningful way to live and work. She also uses the principles of the elements, you know, like fire, water, earth, air, and heart, to figure out how to be more and not just do more. When I tell you this conversation was right on time, y'all, you have no idea. I don't even think she knew how much this conversation meant to me, considering all the things I had going on at the time of this recording. It was so helpful and needed. So I want to thank you in advance, Miss Helen, for doing what you do, because so many people need guidance and clarity on their ikigai or their meaning of their life. But as I always say, don't take my word for it. Sit back and enjoy this conversation, this amazing conversation with Helen Llewellyn. Thank you so much, Miss Helen, for joining me for another episode of EC Convos. Of course, my name is Eric. I am the host and overall cool guy I like to proclaim myself as being. So I thank you so much. And I did a little digging on your back, on your bio. You provided your bio and I did a little digging. I went to your website, elementaltribe.co.uk. And I got super excited about this conversation simply because I am all for healing from the inside out, you know, and learning, I won't say alternative methods, but learning the basic fundamental, the thing. And when I say basic, I mean the fundamentals from that have been passed down by generations, and not something that's just as of recent, you know what I mean? And just learning how to become better within yourself and learning how to be one with yourself. And so I am so excited to talk with you about this because we all are kind of suffering from that type of environment now where everything is kind of like monotone and everything is robotic. And before you know it, your life will pass you by simply because you're trying to make it without even stopping to smell the roses, as some people would say. So, yeah. Ms. Helen, thank you so much again for joining me. And I do want to ask, please, tell me about yourself. Tell me everything.
Okay. So you described yourself very eloquently. So I've got like a sort of pseudo title, if you like. I call myself an elemental alchemist. So I'm someone that can help you bring all of your elemental parts back together. So just like you were saying, we're being dragged away from what we used to know. Right. And our sort of real, what we need to do is about remembering all the stuff that used to be inherent. So that's sort of a real passion for me, really. But to go back to me in a mini, mini bio, I suppose, is I grew up in the south of the UK and I was a farmer's daughter. So we had a farm, cows, a bit of sheep, some pigs and stuff. Love the outdoor life, still do. So I still go walking, do a bit of sailing. I've done yacht sailing and now I do a bit of dinghy sailing. But I did the thing where you should go and do stuff. So I felt I should go to uni. Hated it. Made all the wrong choices. Left after a year. Felt I should go and get a job. Should go and get a career and do corporate. Do you know, I hated that as well. I was quite good at what I did. I did insurance sales for a while and I liked the technical part, but it wasn't the money that drove me. It was giving people peace of mind that was my real passion. But it took me 25, 30 years to realize that. And just like, you know, things take a while to catch up with you, I think, because you're busy doing what you feel you should do. And I got to being early 40s, having been through a couple of relationships, and I thought, I want to go back to the countryside because I've moved from Devon, which is quite rural, up to Portsmouth, which is a small city. And it was perfectly fine house, perfectly fine life, but I had the call and the pull of going back to the countryside. So I wanted to do that. But because I ditched out of corporate life, I didn't have the money to do it because all the prices had gone sky high by then. People were buying second homes.
Right.
So I had to get a bit creative. So I moved to Spain.
Wow.
We had made the choice, my other half and I. We thought, this is a good idea. Let's go to the countryside. And from the day we said, this is what we want to do, to the day we actually moved, lock, stock and barrel, having sold up everything we owned, 13 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, so instead of going back to the UK countryside, which is where you're born and raised, you obviously went into the corporate world for some years, mm-hmm. when you had this calling, or when you had this realization, instead of going back to the countryside, which is what you're familiar with, you decided to remove all of that and go straight to something that you're completely unfamiliar with, which is Spain. Two questions. One, what was the realization you received? Can you talk me through the realization that you had and that epiphany? I would think it would be an epiphany. Talk to me through with that and tell me what was the turning point to make you decide, okay, I've had enough of this. I need to go back to this. And two, why Spain all of a sudden?
Okay, good questions. Right. So I'd say rather than a epiphany that happens like overnight, it was more like a slow erosion. So myself and my other half were self-employed, mm-hmm. and we love dumpster diving for the fun of it. But at the time, it was partially to help us balance the books and stuff as well.
Right.
But then we walk up our suburban street and everybody else has got brand new cars. They've got the massive tellies. And even though we like the sustainable life, if you like, we still felt the pressure of the should thing coming up. You need the house to look so and so. You need this. You need that. And we didn't like it. And it was also a call of nature. I needed more nature in my life. And even though we were on the outskirts of this big town, it was very curated nature around. You had to go quite a long way. And it was just like a grinding down. It was effort to get to country, to get to that peace. There was noise all the time. You sit in the back garden, you hear the woo, woo, woo as the police are off somewhere or the ambulance is going somewhere.
Yes.
And it's just the noise of society all around you. And we wanted that quiet and peace that I used to have when I was 20, in the countryside with the animals and the grass and the trees and just being able to sit and not worry about anything.
Wow. So basically everything had changed by the time you decided to go back to the countryside. Some of the elements of what was so comfortable for you were no longer there, meaning the peace, as you said earlier, the nature, it was replaced by the sounds of, the ambulances, whatever, and just cars passing by, horns blowing and things like that. So it wasn't really, again, it wasn't really the same countryside that you're familiar with.
Well, the noise and stuff, the different sort of changes really was in the town, although the countryside had changed quite a bit as well by the time we wanted to go back.
Okay.
Because people wanted, a lot of people from second homes, people could sell up in London and sell their very ordinary, modest house for 400, 500,000 and then move to Cornwall and buy outright. Whereas the house I had was worth far less and we still had a mortgage. We couldn't easily go down and the price had gone up. But the countryside had changed a bit as well. And certainly now, when I go back and visit my folks, I do notice the lack of peace there because the roads are so much busier and there are just so many more people there who don't necessarily appreciate the countryside.
Right, right. Because one thing I do know is you can't really take that. If these are people who may have migrated to the countryside, one thing you can say is that they really don't take that into consideration when moving to the countryside because they still have themselves within them. So if they're born in a city and they want to move out to the countryside or whatever, you still have city elements within you. And I do understand that sometimes you need to have a complete removal of your previous situation in order for you to be able to embrace your current situation. So why Spain then?
So Spain, well, the story on that one is I've always had a habit of wherever I go in the world, I look in estate agent windows. So we'd gone on a road trip to Germany to watch a particular performer because it was more interesting than doing it in the UK and cheaper. So we're minding our own business in Germany one freezing cold January day. And I start looking at property in a German estate agency. And from there, the sort of funny little breadcrumb trail of the internet and stuff took me to thinking, Portugal. Rather than going back to the UK, Portugal looks cheap. How about there? So we researched that a little bit. It's not going to work for what we thought we wanted to do. We thought, aha, Spain might work. And this is pre-Brexit. So we had better options, easier options to go to European countries then as well. And Spain had the weather in that one of the things we also disliked in the UK that we'd come to notice is the very long winters where it just gets very grey and drab. Mm-hmm. We don't have the whiteouts and the big snowfalls that you might get and other people might get, but it's like a depressing cloud descends for like 4 months. So we thought, well, Spain has, it's warmer, it has much longer days as well. So it seemed like a good idea. But there's another one. So this is a bit more, I don't know, oddball if you like. But when we came for some recce in Spain, I felt like I had lived here before in a past life. So it was almost like the world was calling me back. And to go off on a little bit of a side sort of chat, if you like, when we finally moved to Spain, or when we came here, did our recce trip, we found a house that we quite liked. Mm-hmm. And we put an offer in. But the paperwork wasn't right, and we had to pull out of that one. We then came and we bought a house 20K away, but a slightly different sort of area. After 2 years, the world was calling me back to this precise place. Mm. I now live 1.5 kilometers from that first house.
Wow.
So it's like a destiny thing. I'm supposed to live here for a while. Very strange.
Wow. Okay, I am a firm believer in destiny, right? And I am a firm believer in things happening as it's supposed, as it should, or as it needs to, or as the universe had already prepared it to happen. And so you having that feeling of, hey, I, I've been here before. Like, you know, and it's almost a, again, it's almost a welcoming feeling for you to know that, okay, I am supposed to be here. And for you to be able to move, would you say 1.5 kilometers from the original place that you set your eyes on is absolutely insane. It is amazing. Yeah. You know, and that just goes to show how much things are supposed to work out as they traditionally do. Did you learn when being in Spain, you've been in Spain almost 7 years now, or a little bit over 7 years now, right?
Yeah.
So have you learned or have you acquired the language, the Spanish language, or are you still?
I'm not bad now. Not bad.
Okay.
I'm better at functional Spanish than I am at chatting.
Okay.
But my elderly neighbor, he's 92, doesn't speak a word of English. And I was chit-chatting to him for 45 minutes with no translation, no problems the other day. So I'm not too bad.
That's
but
great.
But working on it all the time.
That's great. Yeah, because I know sometimes immersive English, or immersing yourself in the culture or in the country will somewhat force your brain to learn the language, right? And obviously you need to do that in order to be able to just go about everyday life. So that's great. That's really, really great. Oh man, that's such an exciting story, because so many people are so caught in, again, the monotony of life, and making moves like that is completely scary to them. So you are a testament of things working out like it's supposed to, simply because you felt it in your bones that this is where I needed to be. And as fate would have it, this is where you are. That is amazing. I want to know now, because you're in Spain, so what exactly do you do while you're in Spain? Or because you're living there now, what exactly do you do?
Okay. So I've got a couple of things that I do. I'll come back to the elemental tribe. I'll just digress on the other thing,
okay. The
thing that I brought with me. So I had a sort of finance background, if you like, doing my insurance sales initially. So before I came here, I was doing a business that was workplace pensions. In the UK, every business has to have a particular type of pension. So I did that, and I've brought that with me. And I do a little bit of payroll, again, for UK businesses.
Okay.
So that pays the bills. But the bit that really is, you know, the bit that excites me is the life coaching and the transformation stuff that I do via Elemental Tribe, where you help people go from they're stuck, they can't see a way out of their situation, to, right, it's that easy, is it? Because most things are easy when you boil it right down. I mean, it might be a bit tricky to actually facilitate the plan, but the choices are kind of easy once you can see them for yourself.
You're absolutely right. Because once you understand it, right, as you said earlier, once you see the choices, then you realize that the choices are, one, they may have already been there. You just may not have been able to see them because of, you know, the fog or whatever that may be in your mind. But two, you're able to execute those choices and execute those things and say, oh, it was that simple. You know, how, I'm assuming that this is what you love to do, which is the Elemental Tribe, right? I mean, obviously, you know, your job, you know, it pays the bills and things like that or whatever, but the thing that you do, the passion that you have, this is what you love to do. Am I correct with that?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm expanding it further this year, in that we've already talked about my pull to the land and how important I feel that is for peace and sanity. Mm-hmm. So my aim is to set up a charity to buy land and a property here in Spain, which will be funded by members. Collective, and then those members can then come and stay for a week at a time in the property to bring clients or for themselves to experience the super, super peace and quiet we have here.
Oh, wow. Wow. That will be absolutely amazing, because it's one thing to be able to help someone recognize their potential, but to place someone in an environment that also contributes to them recognizing their potential that's fascinating. That is fascinating. Mm-hmm. How far are you from that? I mean, is this is like the early stages?
So early stages. So I've done sort of a proven the concept, and that I've asked a bunch of people, what do you think of the idea? And they've said, love it. So I've got a small collection of people. So now I'm just formalising what the structure needs to be. And I think it'll be part UK-based, partly Spanish-based.
Okay.
And now I'm developing a document that will be an invitation to express an interest. And I'll be reaching out to people to say, does this sound like something you'd like to be involved with? And gathering a tribe of people to build it.
Okay. So we're looking probably maybe a year. So, I mean, do you have a time frame as to when you may get it started?
I'd like to be in a position to be actually looking for property within 6 months if I can. Okay. I'd like to make it go quick.
Okay. Okay. With that being said, can you tell me a little bit more about Elemental Tribe? Because I went to the website and there's several key pieces that were on the site. One thing in particular you mentioned on the site, and I have it right here, and I wanted to read it to you because it spoke to me. When you said the key to happiness is to take control of your own choices, to be more you instead of doing what you feel you should. This is what individuality and authenticity is. Be you and do less. I wanted to get your insight on that, but also I do want to kind of get more information on what Elemental Tribe, what it stands for.
Okay. So Elemental Tribe is about stopping people doing more and helping them be more. So the way that we are corralled with societal pressure, things we read, what we think we should do, tends to make us average. It makes us live in these beige neutral homes because our nervous systems can't take the excitement of reds or greens or whatever. And we tend to have a style that matches everybody else so that we feel safe. So Elemental Tribe is about feeling safe, being yourself through expressing yourself, through understanding what makes up your own choices and what makes that feeling of ease and balance. And to do that, I use a elemental format, which is like the shamanic traditions. And then I blend it a little with some of the Japanese insight, like kintsugi and ikigai and the forest bathing techniques and traditions as well. Ikigai. That's kind of a little bit of East meets West.
Yeah, I'm familiar with ikigai, which is ikigai, which is be, something about be, right? Just be.
Yeah, so ikigai is finding the balance of what will pay you, what do you love to do, yeah, and what would people want. So you find the middle. It's like a Venn diagram where your sweet spot is the central part. It's so helping people find that central part for themselves.
Yeah. Right. With let's just say, for instance, a normal person would come in, 9-to-5 job, working, you know, weekend off, happy hour, the normal rat race, right, of what, mm-hmm, what societal norms are. What would be, which without giving too much, because I don't want to break too much into, you know, your coaching and everything like that, but just kind of like a 30,000 foot view of what it is you would do for someone initially. So what would be the first steps for someone who's interested in being more and not doing more?
Okay. So first of all, I'd get them to do my quiz. So that we can identify how balanced their four elements are, their air, which is the thoughts and communications, their earth, which is their sense of belonging and safety, their water, their fears and feelings, and their fire, their passions and desires. So then we get the answers to lots of things and where they feel they are, that we can work on different things. But often people are missing or misaligned in their fire. So they get a bit... addicted is not quite the right word, but a bit, they feel that they need to do the more that we've already spoken about. When if you come back a little bit and find your passion and your desire and what you actually stand for, finding your why, then that helps you then start to reassess everything else.
Oh, okay. Okay. The majority of the people, I can attest to that. The majority of the people do lose their passion, especially if they've been doing something for so long. So what about the other elements? Have you noticed anyone, or have you in your teachings and in your coachings, have you seen anyone that's been a lot less earth and more water or things like that? Because we already know fire is fire, you know, the passion. But have you seen, mm-hmm, you know, how would you handle someone who may have the passion but don't have the the execution.
Okay, so if you don't have the execution, then you probably don't have the right passion. Mm-hmm. Because the two of those should go hand in hand because they're fire. So you come back and reassess, what are your opinions and your beliefs about these things? So that's your air. So it might be that you have a passion that you'd like to do, but something about your beliefs, which could be your family say you can't, your best friend says it'll never work, that might be holding you back on your fire, and your air has taken over and it's smothering the fire.
Mm.
Okay.
Never considered that. I never considered that. That is, wow, I never considered that, because it's so formal to just, again, live in the normal, in the normalcy of whatever life has to give you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not question. And you need to question. Find you know, I get people to ask an awful lot of whys. So, you know, there's the thing where little toddlers always ask why.
Yeah.
I think I never really grew out of that.
Yeah. 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 You're right about that. You know, asking why. And I think a lot of people stop asking why because, one, mm-hmm. they may not want to hear the backlash of asking that question, or two, they may not receive the answer that they think they may not receive the answer that aligns with whatever the passion is they may be trying to lead into.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned on your site that there's a disconnect between what your life looks like on the outside and how it feels on the inside. You know, you crave more, but you don't know what that more is. How do you get people to find out what that more is? And what I mean by that is, well, let me elaborate a little bit more. So, for instance, using the same person who may have the wrong passion, how do you navigate, or how do you help them navigate through whatever passion is they may want to pursue, or actually figuring out the passion to realize that this is their more and not that? Am I making sense with that? Or?
Yeah, you're making sense. Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, it's asking questions on where does it feel, working out where the sensation comes from in the body. So that can tell us a little bit as well. So sometimes carry a tension, perhaps I was doing a video earlier about this, carrying like tensions in the hips suggests that it's like emotions that have got stuck. Mm. Or it might be that you've got a tension in your back. Mm. So if you feel you've got a passion, but it's not coming out, I'd get people to go and pay attention to how relaxed does your body feel? Go and do a body scan. Tell me what feels stuck. And then that will help us identify where things are, whether it's in the head, in which case maybe it's back to those beliefs. Is it in the gut, in which case maybe it's fears and feelings that are actually causing this problem? Or is it in some other body part where we can track back and see its past or fear of the future?
Mm. Okay. Do you see people often having to fight with them within themselves to try and, I guess, how can I say this? Do you notice people who are pushing back on your coaching styles and pushing back on things, saying, oh, that won't work. I've tried that already. It doesn't work. I need to do something else. So have you seen a little bit of pushback in those type of aspects with some of your clients and some of your students?
I tend not to. Once people have got through the quiz and we've done that initial conversation, mm-hmm. then they've bought into the idea that elements could be the way.
Okay.
So we can then go and probe and find out what the issues might be. So no, I don't tend to get much pushback.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's great. Because I know it can sometimes be, it's almost like meditation, right? Where people think they want to do meditation, but then they realize that meditation is more than just sitting down and being still for a few minutes or whatever. I mean, there's a lot more involved in it, and it won't happen overnight. And so that's why I was asking that, because I know often whenever people mention meditation, sometimes they'll get they'll get disappointed or disgruntled with it because they don't think it's working. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and I guess the realization is things take time, especially when you've been doing something for so long, right? Your body has gotten acclimated to where everything is, or where, how your structure is. And the minute mm-hmm. you try to deviate from that structure, your mind is like, okay, hold on, you know, or it'll tell it, or it'll try to talk you out of continuing on with it. It's beautiful you're choosing to help people in this aspect, because there's so many people in the world who need this. You know, it's given everything going on in the country, or in the world, I would say, not just in America and not just in the UK, but in the UK, but it's so much happening in the world nowadays where people don't give themselves the time to stop, you know, because they're so focused on just being, and I mean on doing. I got to do this. I got to get this done. I have to finish this. You know, here in America, we have what we like to call a hustle mentality, mm-hmm. where we don't stop for anything. You know, we have to get to once we accomplish one goal, we have to immediately go to the next goal. Right. And there's no time to stop because we feel that life will pass us by. And that's why I love the word ikigai, because it's like the reason for being, like you're saying, finding that balance. And here in America, I can't speak for the UK or anything, but here in America, there are so many people that are missing that reason for being. They're just doing, and not stopping. Yeah. And it's frustrating, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you gotten any clients from America, any students from America?
Not currently, no, but I would love to. So I think the other part that we're missing out in all that you said is we're not tapping into the spiritual part. Now, that can be religious, it can be pagan, it can be all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. But I think having that connection to something bigger than you, if you like, helps you find that you are enough exactly as you are. And then you can just take it. You know, if you need something else or you want something else, it's a step away.
Right.
You are still enough now, but you can be more or do something different in the next hour, the next day, the next month.
Right, right.
And I think that helps to bring in that sensation.
Right. And I agree with that. I think once you learn, once you figure it out what it is that you're completely passionate about, and with, you know, going all in with whatever that passion is, then I think the balance will begin to come, because I think the balance will begin to kind of take shape for you. You know, the more you begin to just say, okay, let me focus on this because this is what brings me joy, and let me continue on. And then eventually you'll begin to get the feeling of being more, because you're loving what you do and you're taking your time to learn what you do and enjoy it. Right.
Absolutely, yeah. And you don't have to leave the rat race if you don't want to. It can be just finding a pocket of time for that hobby where you get lost in time that you really enjoy. That's, you know, it could be music, it could be dancing or cooking or crafting, something to really enjoy and get the inner spark.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Roaring away, really.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I love it. And I love the fact that it doesn't have to be one particular thing. It doesn't have to be meditation. It doesn't have to be yoga. It doesn't have to be any of these things. It can be, as you said, dancing or crafting, you know, walking. You know, you mentioned earlier about being one with nature. Are you into grounding and everything? Do you do that? Or basically walking barefoot on the ground?
I do, but I tend to, I talk to the trees. Mm. So there's a little orchard just down from me. I take my dogs out every day. Mm-hmm. And so I go and talk to the trees. So I find that that's very calming for me.
Nice, nice.
So I ground, but don't tend to take my shoes off and do it in that super formal way that often.
Right, nice, yeah.
But I do teach that as well.
People have said that, you know, talking to trees is actually very, very soothing for your soul as well. And even hugging a tree or touching a tree can be very soothing as well. Yo, that's... I could talk to you all day about this.
I really can. We'll see another chat, can't we?
Yeah, yeah. So, but I do have to ask you though, because it wouldn't be EC Convos if I didn't ask this question. What grinds your gears right now? What gets you upset or pissed off or just makes you frustrated?
Okay. It's not directly linked to what we've been talking about, but the thing that really irritates me at the minute is the adverts you get for military calisthenics in some awful AI, awful voice. And they go, and we're going to transform you in just the 2 days until Christmas. It's like, one, Christmas was like 6 weeks ago, so right. Update your advert. And two, no, you're not. Clearly that's a fake person. And me, that's middling blob kind of thing, is never going to achieve that.
Why is that? I wonder. What I mean, well, we know why. We know why, because with the rise of, you know, especially with something like Facebook. So we understand the reason why is because we want to try to get the attention of the people. But why even subject the people to these frivolous claims, knowing it won't work? You know, I don't know. That is hilarious, but that is true though. That grinds my gears as well, because you see them all day. And it's, you know, yeah. for frivolous stuff, like you say, like calisthenics or, you know, learn how to lose 60 pounds in 2 weeks. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What do you, wait, how? Yeah. How? But yeah, I can, I can agree with that 100%. That irritates me as well. Thank you so much for this conversation. It's so soothing to know. It feels good to my soul to know that there are people out here who are actually doing the work and helping others, you know, try to become better people overall, not just, you know, better mentally, but better physically, better spiritually as well, and better emotionally, you know, which is very important. Mm-hmm. So, but I do have one more question for you, though.
Go on.
Consider it a bonus question. What would be the one thing you would recommend to the people listening? And it can be anything from a book to music to a movie, TV show, a newspaper article, anything. What would be the one thing you would recommend to the random person walking down the street?
Okay. I'm going to say take 5 minutes every day to have a cup of whatever you like to drink and do nothing. Just look out your window and enjoy. That's it.
Interesting. I like that. I like that because it falls in line with the Elemental Tribe, right? Just mm-hmm. not doing anything, just being where yeah. you are. I love that. I think the people listening to this episode will be grateful for you, because you have not only have you provided a whole bunch of knowledge for the people, but you also are serious about the people who are listening will recognize that you're extremely serious about helping others and helping them become better people overall, and by being more and not by doing more. So thank you, Ms. Helen, for this. I really appreciate it. Where can the people find you?
So you've already given the website for me. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm Helen Llewellyn on there. And I also have a Facebook page as well, both as Elemental Tribe and Helen Llewellyn.
Awesome. And it will all be linked at the bottom of the show notes as well. So you can just go there and take a look at what she has to offer. And again, even though the majority of the people that listen are from the U.S., we do have a few people out in other countries that listen as well. But because you are now expanding or going to be looking to expand into the U.S. and look for, you know, students and clients and whatnot, my hope is it reaches the people and they reach out to you and try to make a change in their lives.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That'd be lovely. Here to help. Yes. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, y'all. And thank you once again for listening to another episode of EC Convos. And I will see you on the flip side. Peace.